Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and blessed by the anointed Word of God. If you'd like more information about Apostolic Worship Center and its ministries, visit our website at www.awcnorman.com.
The disciples have been in prison. Peter and John have been in prison. And Scripture says, being let go, they went to their own company. And they made a report of all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. When they heard that, they heard the report, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hast made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up. Rulers were gathered against the Lord, against His Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, the people of Israel, gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants with all boldness that they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, signs and wonders be done. And said, we're asking it by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Preach for a few moments here this Christmas Eve morning. I appeal to the child. I appeal to the child. Would you ask the Lord to help us now? Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord, for your help in the next few moments. Dear God, that you touch our hearts, anoint our spirits. Dear God, our hearts would be open and we would understand the power of the moment. Dear God, that brought you into this world, time that we know it as. I'm asking you, Lord, for your blessings and your anointing. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you lift your voice and your hands to the Lord, and would you give God a great sound of praise. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. God bless you. I don't know if you know it or not. This may come as a surprise to you on this Sunday morning. But we live in an angry world. Okay? Angry. This is an angry world. In fact, if you would just do a little Google search, you'd find out it is a statistical fact that anger is at all-time highs. It's in fact, people are getting angrier by the moment. We live in an angry world. Turn to your neighbor and ask them, are you angry? No. We live in an angry world. Recent headlines, global emotion survey shows record high levels of people feeling angry. It's a consensus. In fact, 64% of those polled agree that we are living in an age where people are becoming more angry than they ever have before. Now, it's been noted that we men sometimes have a problem with anger. How come all I heard was female laughter? Now, before you laugh, you need to check statistics that say that women, their rage is exceeding that of men. Becoming angry. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, are you angry? 80% of all drivers affirm the fact that they've experienced extreme anger, aggression, road rage while driving. Consumer anger is peaking, they say, and more people are becoming so angry they're seeking revenge against businesses more than ever before. It is a fact. We are living in an angry world. People are upset. But it's not just people that are angry. The spirit of our age, that which drives our atmosphere, is a very angry spirit. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 12 tells us that there is instruction given to the inhabitants of earth and of the sea that the devil is come down unto you. He has great wrath, and he knows that he has but a short time. Now, I believe that the devil is angry, and he's stirring the emotions of people to become angry, and this is all dovetailing together that we are living in this angry society because that the devil himself is angry, knowing that he has but just a short time. His anger is directed. It is pinpointed toward, Scripture tells us in Revelation chapter 12, that it is pinpointed toward those that keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. When you obey the commandments of God and you keep the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, Scripture says Satan becomes angry at you because you do that. And in this anger, he tries to destabilize the world. Scripture tells us in Revelation chapter 12 that because of the anger, the emotions that he has stirred up, that there are those that are carried away because of the atmosphere and the emotions of the moment. And I think we can see that in our society right now, that we are living in a time where people are being carried away by all of these emotions that are stirred up by Satan himself, who is angry, knowing he has just a short time left to do his work. Now, the fact is that you and I, who are keepers of that testimony and obedient to the commandments of God, must learn how to function and to operate in an age of rage, in a place where there is all of this anger that is happening at so many different levels. The fourth chapter of the book of Acts, the apostles are finding themselves in a place of opposition with authority. There are those that have stood up. Scripture says the kings of the earth have stood up and rulers have gathered themselves together. Recognized names of authority such as Herod is listed, and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the nation of Israel, have all stood up in opposition to the apostles. And Scripture says that it was at a moment where the heathen raged. They were caught in this crucible of anger, and where emotions were high and feelings were out of kelter, and they're trying to survive in this atmosphere of anger and not be carried away by all of this that is taking place. Understand that they were physically beaten, they were emotionally weary, and they were spiritually spent. Now, I think that probably is what makes this hour that we live in so difficult to survive in, with this spirit of rage and anger that's taking place, is that we who are obedient to His commandments and love the testimony of Jesus Christ, we are trying to face the spirit of our moment, this rage, this anger, this atmosphere, and we're doing it in weakened bodies, in weakened emotions, in weakened spirits, trying to find our way and navigate our way through all of this that is taking place. And they could have succumbed to the atmosphere that was around them. Instead, these who were so weary with the rage that was around them lift their voice and make an appeal unto God. I believe we are at a moment where we need to make an appeal to God for help. Everything is out of control. Everything's out of kelter. We got to make an appeal unto God. They did. Acts chapter 4, verse number 24, Scripture says, when they heard that, they lifted their voice to God with one accord. You can't handle the spirit of our age, this rage that's taking place, this anger, all of these emotions that are running rampant. You can't handle it on your own. The only way that you can handle it, you got to make an appeal to God. God, I need your help. You'll become carried away if you don't make an appeal to God. You'll be swept away in this flood, as Revelation 12 calls the vehemence of Satan, the flood that came from his mouth. You'll be carried away by all of it if you don't pause to say, I need a little help from God. Now, how many would admit on a Christmas Eve morn you need a little help from God? Got to have a little help from God. I do. I got to have help. And they lifted their voice to God. And Scripture says in that 24th verse that they make this appeal saying, Thou art God. And then they appeal to His creative power and say that has made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is. They said, we're appealing to the power, the creative ability of God to intervene in this moment where there is such vehemence and such anger and such opposition and emotions are so wild and crazy. We're appealing to the God that was able to bring order out of darkness and speak light and bring about a beautiful creation when everything had been in a disruptive manner. I appeal to the God of creation. When they appeal to this God, they remind him in verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? In other words, they tell God, God, not only do you have the ability to make a difference in this, but this hasn't slipped up on your blind side. You knew about all of this from the very beginning. Your prophets prophesied about the atmosphere of the age we're in right now. You can sit back and wring your hands if you want to. God already knew about all of the rage and the anger and the emotions and the violence and the vehemence. God already knew all about that. So they appeal to God. God, not only do you have the creative ability, but you already know about this long before it ever happened. We need you to intervene. How many believes we need God to intervene? We need God to intervene right now. Now, when I call for God to intervene, I'd like for God to do some stuff. When I lift my voice and say, God, your creator, you made all this. None of this slipped up on your blind side. I'm praying the prayer of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 1. I think you might agree with me. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil. Make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. Now, when I ask God to intervene, I want him to do it in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 1 and 2. When I get down on my knees and say, God, your creator, none of this slipped up on your blind side. I need you to come off your throne. I need you to come down in this mess. And I want you to bring fire. I want you to bring thunder. I want you to bring lightning. I want you to let my enemies know that I got somebody on my side that's bigger than they are. I need God to act. Does anybody feel like you'd like to have an Isaiah chapter 64 right now? Come on. I'd like to have an Isaiah chapter 64. Come on down, God. Get involved in this mess. Show your power. Show your strength. Show your majesty. I need you to come on down and be involved and just take care of all this nonsense out here. Just if you just breathe on them, that they'd straighten up. that think things would change. I need Isaiah chapter 64 verses 1 and 2 to happen right now. I need God to intervene in all of this. And yet, when these freshly beaten, verbally abused apostles ask for divine intervention, it's not for Isaiah 64 and 1 that they call for. It's not for God to come down with melting fire and vehemence of anger against the adversaries. This is not what they summons. Rather, in their prayer, they make notice of an event in history. They point their finger back to an insignificant night. They point their finger back to a little quaint town in Judah. They point their finger back to a stable, a manger. They point their finger back to this little humble beginning, and they say it like this in Acts 4 and 27, against thy holy child Jesus. When they summons for God to come and intervene in the rage and the anger, they don't ask for Isaiah 64 and 1, but they summons the scene of Bethlehem. They summons the scene of the manger. They summons the scene of that starlit night, and they point back to that point and they say, we want you to come into our world just as you came into our world then. We need you to come into our world now. When they spoke of him as being a child, it's a word that is probably more aptly translated as servant, for they said, as of a truth, against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. But whether you use the word child or you would use the word servant, the text is pointing to the fact that in comparisons to all of the authority, Pilate and Herod and all of the hierarchy of governmental system, when you compare that with the humility of Christ, said the humility of Christ has more authority and more power than the greatest power on the face of earth. Can I tell you on this Christmas Eve morn that there's power in the birth of Christ in Bethlehem? His humility is greater than all the forces and opposition that we deal with in this present world. I appeal to the child. Yes, I'd like Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 1. But oh, when I think when he came in that manger, when I think of him coming, stepping into time, robing himself with flesh, coming in into my world, stepping into my environment, stepping into my time, he indeed became God manifested in the flesh, fulfilling that 700-year-old prophecy of Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. But before you discount the humility of Bethlehem, you better understand that the manger has got the government sitting on his shoulders, that the one laying in that stable is holding all of this together. I appeal to the authority and the power of the child that came in Bethlehem. For when he came, it was indeed the God of power, wrapped in flesh, coming as a tiny baby in Bethlehem. It's God laying aside the train that had filled the temple and exchanging it for swaddling clothes in that manger. It was God who sat on the circumference of the earth, now lying beneath that star-studded sky. It was God who came not as a conqueror, but came as the son of a carpenter. It was God that stepped into our world. I want you to know, you cannot negate, and you cannot do away with, and you cannot make void, and you cannot invalidate the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. And what happened there that night was nothing more than God almighty Almighty stepping into this present world. And the apostle said, I'll put what happened there up against all the authority and all the power that can ever happen in our present world. Can I tell you, we are not in a position that where we are powerless, but God is on our side. Come on now, does anybody believe that? Come on, does anybody believe God's on our side? I appeal to the child. I know it seems small and insignificant compared to all the stuff we're facing right now. But when I appeal to that birth in Bethlehem, I'm appealing to the fact that God said, I'm in your world and I'm wearing your sandals and I'm wearing your robes and I'm right here with you, Emmanuel, God with us. But it wasn't just the fact of his birth that they were appealing to. It wasn't just the fact that he did come as God in flesh. This is how they ask him to demonstrate himself. Notice Acts chapter 4, verse number 30. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. They said, now God, what we need you to do in this angry, behemoth world, we need you to make available all of the power that you brought into Bethlehem. We need you to stretch forth your hands and do signs and wonders and miracles. Was it not Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 35 that he said when the Messiah came, he said, strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Now this is what's going to happen. The eyes of the blind is going to be open. The ears of the deaf is going to be unstopped. The lame man's going to leap as a hart. The tongue of the dumb is going to sing. And the wilderness is going to break out with waters. And there's going to be streams in the desert when that babe in the manger comes. When that Messiah arrives in Bethlehem. He's going to come in with all kinds of miracles, signs, and wonders. Oh, why don't we quit praying Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 1. Why don't we start praying the Bethlehem prayer? Why don't we start praying for him to release those miracles and that healing and his signs and his wonders? For when he came, he brought the potential and the possibility that every heart could be touched, every life could be changed, every soul could be made new, every sickness could be vanquished, every problem could be taken care of. I appeal in an angry world. I appeal to the child of Bethlehem. I appeal. Because you see, when he came, he was appointed and anointed of God. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He was appointed and anointed to do the work that he did upon earth. And what we are appealing in this 21st century of rage and anger and all kinds of violence and wickedness, I'm appealing for what he brought in that Bethlehem manger to be loosed amongst us, and for healing and deliverance and miracles and signs and wonders to take place. Can you imagine what would happen in the midst of this violent world if somebody would just say, by thy holy child, Jesus, by thy holy child. They're pointing back to that moment when he entered the world. They're pointing back to that moment when God became flesh. They're pointing back to that moment when God said, I'm going to take on the afflictions, and I'm going to take on the weariness, and I'm going to take on the wornness, and I'm going to take on the tiredness of life. You're pointing back to that moment saying, God, you're right here. You're in our world, and you can take care of all of this. Can I tell you, the violence of our age and the rage of our age cannot squelch in any way though what happened on that Bethlehem night. So what I'm doing in this hour is I'm appealing to the child of Bethlehem for a work of the Holy Ghost to take place. Would you stand with me all over the building? I don't know how your world is right now. And I don't know what kind of issues and problems and difficulties and situations you're facing. But I appeal to that moment He made His entrance into this world, because He made a promise of provision and help and miracles. Would you just lift your hand and your voice with me right now? And would somebody appeal? God, in this moment, I need divine intervention, God. I need You to step in. And I appeal, God, to what you were born for. I appeal to what You came for. I appeal, dear God, to Your work in that manger in Bethlehem. I appeal to the power, the authority, the anointing. You're able to step into our crisis. You're able to step into our world. You're able to step into our problems. You're able to step into our difficulty. I appeal unto You. Oh, would somebody just lift your hands, and would you begin to adore Him all over the building? Some mama, just lift your voice right now and make an appeal. I know it seems insignificant. I know it seems insignificant to call for what took place in that manger. I know it seems to be no match compared to where we're at and the time we're surrounded by. But I appeal to the humbleness of the moment to meet a need all across this place. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I appeal to that. Would you lift your voice one more time with me all across the building?
You have been listening to an audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center located in Norman, Oklahoma. We are located at 3221 North Porter Avenue, Norman, Oklahoma, 73071. Our service times are Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., and we also have various ministries happening on Wednesday night. For more information, visit our website, www.awcnorman.com. You can call us at 405-329-1285 or email us at info@awcnorman.com. We hope that this recording has been a blessing to you.